There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Connect pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Great to be with you guys on a Tuesday night here on KMOX. I love this time of year. This is great, man. I mean, and we've even had a little element added to it, right? I mean, we've got the playoffs going on. You got the NLCS happening at the moment. The Braves have a chance to go up 3-0 in the series on the Dodgers this afternoon. They're up 4-2 right now, midway through the game. The Red Sox have a lead on the Astros. We got good baseball stuff, and the World Series is not that far away. The Cardinals have provided us with another topic, the manager search. So we're looking forward to that. We do the manager chat all season long, and this is now the manager search. And looking forward to seeing who the next guy is that's going to be running the team from the bench. And certainly not going to happen in the next couple of days, but within the next, well, let's see, what's today? 19th. Yeah, I'd say within about the next 3 weeks, we should probably know who that person is. And we've got all of the ins and outs of that to discuss as we move forward. Let's see here. What else do we have? Well, we have a little college football. We talked about some of the Mizzou things. And the fact there is an announcement coming up for one of the top recruits of the St. Louis area as well. So we may give you an update on that here in just a little bit. We're going to be talking a little bit about baseball next hour. And we got Rob Nyer coming in at 7:15. Well, not coming in. He's out in Oregon, but you know, we'll be bringing him into the show. Rob obviously is an old school sabermetrician. He, you know, he came up in that role, like along with, you know, at the beginning of kind of the sabermetric revolution. And he's a really smart guy, covered baseball for a long time. He's written a bunch of books. He's actually the commissioner of a minor league baseball league out in on the West Coast. But I wanted to bring him in to talk about some of the things that we've discussed the last couple days regarding analytics and the gap that we have sometimes between the acceptance of them and the rejection of them and why we do that. And I know I've touched on that a couple times here in the last few days. People, for whatever reason, don't like the term analytics and they push back against it, even though it really is not much different than what went on before. It's just a larger number of people doing things, right? So instead of just the manager, the bench coach, the pitching coach, the hitting coach taking notes and writing them all down in a book like Tony La Russa's staff did and like Dave Duncan did, it's now done by a whole large group of people who then also have the ability to analyze things you don't get to see and write down yourself, like all the other games that those players play in that you don't get to see. So, I don't know, and I do agree that terminology is a bit of an issue in some of this, and that's one of the things I want to talk about with Rob Nyer, too, because that happened, you know, sabermetrics and analytics are not exactly the same thing, right? I mean, sabermetrics is kind of using statistics, numbers, results to tell us a story, and analytics does involve some of those numbers, but it is also about, like, hardcore baseball things, like, you know, velocity and exit velocity, like physical traits, arm strength and things. So it includes a little bit broader spectrum of things where sabermetrics is more about the result as opposed to the process of achieving the result. So these two things have had a language problem, though, for a long time. You know, if you're a baseball fan, it's a lot easier to not only understand, but just talk about home runs, RBIs, batting average. It's a little bit more of an alphabet soup when you're getting into weighted runs created plus, or you're getting into batting averages on balls in play, right? Like, these things are not as simple. They don't roll off the tongue as easily as homers, doubles, RBI. So I think there's some rebellion. I don't know if rebellion's not the right word. Pushback on some of it because it sounds like too much work to get into it. It really isn't. But when I get into something like, you know, OPS plus, or, you know, again, weighted runs created plus, it's not that complicated of a thing. It's just telling you how a player measures up to other players in the league, adjusting for the ballpark. But again, that all requires an explanation. Home run does not require an explanation. Batting average does not require an explanation. So I do think there's a language thing, and I'm going to talk to Rob Nyer about that coming up next hour, because I think that we got to figure out a way to say things in a way that they don't get that rejection, right? Because I talked about this the last couple of nights. You know, the thing that we say now is, well, you know, Charlie Morton and Walker Buehler are pitching today. They've got high spin rate fastballs. Yeah, they do. That used to be called a rising fastball. And people understood what a rising fastball is. Well, that's what a high spin rate fastball is, technically. You know, it rides more, so it looks like it's coming up, even though it's not. It's an optical illusion because the hitter is expecting a little bit more decline on the pitch, and there's less of that when you have a higher spin rate. We've always understood 12 to 6 breaking ball, right? Because the ball moves from on the clock 12 to 6 or 1 to 7 or whatever. And what you have now is a better understanding of how to shape those pitches, right? We talk about pitch shape. Well, that's what that is. That's what 12 to 6 is. It's describing the shape of the pitch. Well, people can shape a two-seam fastball. They can shape a slider. You can do like that. They're just a further understanding and an easier way of measuring it. So we'll talk about some baseball with Rob Nyer next hour. Before we do any of that, though, I want to talk about the Blues' start to the season. They're 2-0. The win last night against Arizona wasn't perfect by any means. They were a little loose defensively, but they scored 7 goals and they win 7-4. The win in Colorado, though, was really impressive. That's a good opponent on their ice to kick off the season. So a good start for the Blues at 2-0. And who better to help us break it all down and talk about what we've seen so far and what we can expect to see as we get this new season rolling than Hall of Famer Bernie Federko. So I'm going to talk a little Blues hockey with Bernie Federko when we come back here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on Tuesday night here on KMOX, loving Sports Open Line this time of year because I have literally everything at my disposal. We're talking football. We're talking baseball. Got a little hoops coming in there at some point as well. But right now my focus is on the start of the Blues season and obviously the start of the NHL season on a bigger picture. And the Blues off to a nice 2-0 start on the road. They got one more game on this road trip before they get to play the home opener. That'll be tomorrow night in Vegas. And I'm even happier than all of that other stuff that I get to talk about the early start to the Blues with the Hall of Famer Bernie Federko from Valley Sports Midwest. Bernie, it's always great when we get a chance to talk. Thank you so much for doing this. How you been?
Kevin, I've been great. It's always a pleasure, and you know what? It's always nice to see hockey season start.
Whew. And by the way, nice to be back to some kind of normal, right? I mean, 82-game season. We got through a real training camp. I mean, I know I talked about that with Craig Berube last week, but it's just fantastic to have something close to normal again.
Absolutely. I mean, it's still not normal. It's close to normal. But bringing right. The fans to the stands, I think that was the biggest thing, Kevin. Just you could see the smile on the guy's face. You got emotion now. There's much more emotion in the games because you got everybody in the stands going crazy, going wild, having fun. And I think that's what every professional sport's all about is having the fun, having the fans have fun. Yeah. And now that they're back, I think it's great to see.
That had to be super weird. You never had anything like that, did you? Like, I mean, maybe when you were a kid, when there aren't that many people in there, but like, not at the professional level. You guys were always, you know, with thousands and thousands of people there. That had to be weird these last couple of years.
Well, yeah, it was kind of almost like in the early days of training camp, when you'd go to buildings and there'd be no one in there, there'd be, you know, 300 or 400 people instead of, you know, 15 or 20,000. So it made it look kind of crazy. So that's what kind of the feel was over the course of the last couple of years. It was bizarre, and it's got to be hard. And, you know, I never really experienced it in the real time, but, you know, just watching, going down to Enterprise and watching the games even last year before they let fans in, it was just absolutely weird. I mean, it's just, I couldn't believe that the guys could really get emotional enough to play the game. Well, yes, you're making a living out of it, but it's not the same when you don't have the people in there. And now that it's back, and I think that we're seeing a lot more excitement. I think we're seeing a lot more physical play. I mean, we're seeing fights, Kevin, now that I didn't think we'd see, because I think this emotion is finally there because of the last couple of years, it just wasn't there for anybody.
I probably shouldn't joke about it, but we even saw a headbutt last night.
That's two in the first week. The kid in with Edmonton and Calgary,
yep.
He's lucky he didn't get suspended. He just got fined. But, yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but it was a strange deal last night.
No doubt. Well, overall, it seems like the team's off to a pretty good start. I mean, I'm sure you'd like to allow fewer goals. I mean, that's – I would assume everybody's goal within the team. I'm sure Craig Berube doesn't want to look up and see too many goals on the other side. But I will say this, Bernie. The first game, that's Colorado, and that's a really good team. So getting the 2 points and putting up 5 goals on their home ice is good no matter how it comes out. And obviously, Arizona's in a little bit different situation rebuilding. But I guess as you joked before we went on the air, we'll take the points, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at Colorado the other night, sure, they were without McKinnon. They didn't have Linus Gogue. So, but you got to take advantage of that. When there's people missing, you got to make sure you go in and win the games. And, you need to tighten up. There's no question that Craig Berube doesn't want to give up 3 or 4 goals each and every night. Either this Bennington, for that matter. But, we talked before the season starts that the keys to this hockey club were going to be the 4 lines.
Mm-hmm.
Very good up front. You got 4 lines that all can score. And you've got Bennington. And we really thought that if there was going to be an Achilles heel, it was going to be defensively, and I guess we've kind of seen that through the first 2 games. But hey, if Grant Fuhr said it best, if we score 7, let them score 6, it doesn't matter. It's all about wins and losses, and that's really the case right now. I'm sure that they're very excited about having the 4 points, but again, they know that they're going to have to play much better defensively.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Now, I'm going to fight the urge, Bernie, early in the year to exaggerate the depth of this team, but obviously this team has a lot of good forwards, and as you point out, you can get offense from all 4 lines at any given point now, and you even have a couple of guys that can slide in and out of the lineup that can provide a little bit of that as well. How deep do you think this team is from your experience compared to some of the other recent Blues teams?
I'm not so sure that this is the deepest that I've seen in a long time. I mean, we can go back to the Stanley Cup year, obviously. Uh-huh. In 2019 it was a very solid team, and there was really no what you'd call superstars on the team. And I think it's the same way this year. I mean, there's a lot of young talent. We didn't really see that, back in 2019. But now the emergence of a guy like Kyrou, you see Thomas now is starting to play better. I mean, you got this kid, Jake Neighbors, that's coming in now. So there's a lot of young kids that are now a part of this offense. So it's really not the changing of the guards by any means. I mean, Bozak is, 35? But other than that, all these guys are around 29, 30.
Yeah.
So this is a team that's got a lot of depth, a lot of youth, too. And I love what I see up front.
It's interesting. And again, it's too early to draw a conclusion on my side of things, Bernie. But, I mean, everybody that has been a skater in these 2 games has a point except James Neal. Everybody else has gotten in with either a goal or an assist or a combination of both.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And nothing against James Neal. James Neal can score and will score. And it's just a matter of, it's a numbers game all the time. I thought that there was no question that I thought that Costin was going to get in at some point in time on this road trip. So after the win in Colorado, no reason not to put Costin in against a team that the Blues are expected to beat. And then all of a sudden he scores 2 goals last night. So there is depth and there is a lot of talent. And I think there's a lot of guys that can score goals. And as long as they worry about defense first, I think the offense will come. And I think that's what Chief will be preaching.
Bernie, you mentioned Jake Neighbors a minute ago. Obviously, a positive surprise in camp, just 19 years old. If I remember correctly, you were just a little bit older than that when you broke into the NHL. I think you were 20, maybe. I'm not sure how far along you were into your 20th year, though. But, I mean, what is that like at that age, jumping into this level of the game?
It's definitely different. I mean, you're playing against men. You're playing against the best players in the world. I mean, when you play junior or you play college, you've got some quality players on each and every team, but you've only got 2 or 3 guys that are probably going to be going on to play in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you jump out of junior and you're with all the guys that are in the National Hockey League. You're actually playing against them all. And as a kid, it's hard. I mean, I think the kids now, Kevin, are much stronger and quicker and faster. I think the training ways are so different. I mean, these kids, Jake Neighbors was here for the most part, training with the trainers here, and a lot of the guys have personal trainers. So I think that's a little bit different. So I think they're just as strong as the guys that you'd say that are 25 years old. But the 19-year-olds, your body's still growing. There's a lot of stuff that's going to mature. So I think that Jake looks great out there for a kid that's only 19 years old.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, we'll stick with the theme of the newer guys, although these guys are veterans and right there in that prime age that you were referring to earlier. But we have Pavel Buchnevich. We were joking about the headbutt earlier, but he also has a goal and an assist in his first 2 games. And obviously, we all know what Brandon Saad's about. We've seen him be a part of winning teams before. Those are really fun and, I think, critical additions, Bernie, because they can score, and they're certainly offensive players, but they bring that all-around game I know that Craig Berube's looking for.
Doug Armstrong did a great job. Obviously, it's a cap. There's cap space in place now. I mean, it's a different world of hockey. I mean, you've got a cap that you've got to spend to, and you've got to make decisions. And when Schwartz made his decision that he was going to become a free agent, all of a sudden, Hoffman decides to go to Montreal, you've got to replace these pieces. And I think that Doug has done a great job in bringing in Saad and automatically signing him to a new four-year deal. Same thing with Buchnevich, bringing him in, signing him to a five-year deal. You find a guy like Neil out there that was really, I mean, here's a guy that just scored, 20-plus goals in 10 straight seasons. I mean, and scored 40 goals in the 1 year. So this is, I think, a great job that Doug has done, not only the way that they've drafted and a guy like Neighbors coming up and then you get Cost and the young kids, but Kyrou Thomas, but all of a sudden now you've got places that you have to replace. You needed veteran guys, and I think Army just did a great job with proven guys that can score and can play both ends of the ice in this league.
Yeah, really good point. Totally agree. All right, we got to take a quick time out. Bernie, hang tight. We're going to come back. I want to talk a bit more about some of the younger guys on the roster as well. I mean, obviously, guys like Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas aren't rookies, but they're kind of getting to that point where breakout seasons tend to happen. So we'll talk a bit more about that. And I got a thing. I want to get to Klim Kost as well. So we'll get to all that coming up. Bernie Federko is our guest. Always love talking to the Hall of Famer. We got more Blues Talk next with Bernie here on KMOX.
Your home of the Billikens, Chiefs, and Cardinals.
I like sports. Listen to sports.
America's sports voice, KMOX.
Back in on a Tuesday night here on KMOX, and we're continuing our Blues conversation with Hall of Famer Bernie Federko from Bally Sports Midwest. And Bernie, right toward the end of the last segment, you mentioned Klim Kostin's name, and of course he had two goals last night. He's a really intriguing prospect, brings some size, obviously some offensive potential as well, and he's coming off a really nice year in Russia last year, and now maybe getting his opportunity. Sure seems like a guy that, if he figures it out, if it clicks, could bring something to this team.
I think so too, Kevin. The thing with him is that, unfortunately for him, you come in and you're drafted and you come into a situation where the team just wins the Stanley Cup. So you really don't have a spot where you really are going to fit into the lineup. So I think it was really to his benefit that he ended up staying in Russia, especially with COVID and stuff going on. He was able to play there and mature, and he played very, very well. I mean, he scored 7 goals during the regular season and ended up scoring 5 goals in the playoffs in the 24 games. His team won the championship in Russia. So here's a kid that's got a lot of confidence now. So he comes in at the end of last year, didn't play very much. Of course, the Blues were swept in the playoffs. So I think that he's come in this year thinking that, hey, I'm going to prove that I can play in this league and I'm going to survive in this league. And it was probably tough for him to sit out the first night, but I think he looks at it's a matter of numbers. And he knew that he was going to get in at some point in time. And I think that he proved last night that he can play and he will play. And I think it's going to be a juggling game for Craig Berube to understand where he's going to put in guys at certain times. But this is hockey. I mean, there's guys getting hurt all the time, Kevin. Mm-hmm. This is, you're going to need all 23, and you'll need 23 plus on your roster because guys are going to be in and out of the lineup because of injuries, and you've got guys that can just jump in and replace them. So with Klim, I think that he's got all the potential. I thought he played really well last night. He's a big guy. He ran over a couple of guys. He was physical along the boards. He took a penalty that Chief didn't like. I think Chief mentioned that in his press conference. It was a penalty that shouldn't have been taken. But these are things that are going to happen. But he's a kid in the league. He's just learning. That was his 7th game last night. So I like what I see because of the size that he has. And I think that he obviously is, I think, he's going to have a bright future in the NHL.
Speaking of kids, at least in terms of calendar years, right? I mean, Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas are probably about the same age as Kostin, but they've obviously been around a little bit longer. And I'm curious from your perspective. I mean, those are two very talented young offensive players, Bernie. And, you know, we all know that in every position there's a bit of a learning curve to kind of feel comfortable in the league and comfortable with your spot, especially as an offensive player. So when did that start to happen for you? Because these guys look like they're kind of in that window where it might start to settle in for them.
It started in my 3rd year, Kevin. I mean, first year you're kind of really starstruck, and I got called up and I played very well. I got an opportunity the first year and did really well, but I only played like 30 games. But it was the second year I was kind of relegated to fourth line duty because it was, again, you're with a team, a bunch of veterans. You got to bide your time and wait till you get the opportunity. And it wasn't until the 3rd year where Bark took over. Brian and I both started playing the regular shift. We were on the power play, and that's when everything came together. And you knew that from that moment, I knew that, hey, I can compete and I can play. So it's the third year that you have to really take that extra jump. And really, to be honest with you, Kevin, it's contract year. You got 3 years in the league, and you better be ready to put up numbers, or you're going to have to struggle and try to find a job somewhere else. So that's kind of where it is. And I think both Kyrou and Thomas were in that position last year. I think Kyrou had his coming out season last year, and he was great the first two games of the year. Yeah. I thought Thomas played much better last night. I think that the injuries hurt him last year, but I think his upside and his potential is so high that if he really can get it all together, I think he's going to be another great little player here in the league. And really, both of them don't have a lot of size, but you don't really have to have a lot of size in the league anymore. As long as you get involved, and both those guys do get involved.
Yeah, and obviously they can move a little bit. I haven't seen too many guys in recent years in a Blues uniform that move faster than Kyrou does.
No, and it's the hands that he's got, the way he sees the ice. I mean, obviously, it was just like last year. I mean, he had a great start, and then all of a sudden, teams start paying a little more attention to him, and that's what will happen. But I think with this team, Kevin, if you pay attention to one line, you've got three other lines that can score. So I think this is going to be really interesting as the year goes on, who gets checked and who doesn't get checked, because I think Chief will play the lines that are hot. He's going to play more, and then all of a sudden, someone else is going to be checking them, and then all of a sudden you might get shut down, and somebody else got to step up. So I think this is going to be a real interesting year because of the talent that the Blues have up front.
Good point. All right, one last thing I want to ask you about, Bernie, and I'm not going to get into the trade part of all of this because there's a lot that needs to happen before any of that conversation starts up again with Vlad Tarasenko. But obviously he's healthy. He's in the lineup. We mentioned he's been playing with Robert Thomas, and he's a guy that we know what he's capable of. It's such an interesting spot because for a long time he was the guy, right? He's the, you know, the 30-35 goal scorer. He's the guy that can provide a lot of offense, and he's getting that opportunity. And now it's interesting. He's still that talent, but it feels like there's still something to prove after a couple years of injuries.
Well, there's lots to prove once again. I mean, he wants to continue to play. I mean, he's only 29 years old. He wants another contract. I mean, here's a guy that is a very good goal scorer, obviously one of the best in the business, and it's been a tough couple of years, the last couple of years with the, and maybe it happened at a good time for him because COVID was going on and he had the three shoulder surgeries, and I think he's just learning the game again. I mean, realistically, when you only play 24 games over the last couple of years, your timing's off. There's a lot of things. I don't think he's confident with his shoulder probably yet, and I think it's just a matter of time that he finds his game, and it's up to him, because if he wants to continue to make a bunch of money and he wants to continue to play in the league, he's going to have to score because that's what his bread and butter is. So I think that he was better last night than he was in the first game, and I expect that as time goes on, he's going to get much better. I mean, he's got to get more shots on net. He's got to learn to play with Robert Thomas a little more, but I think that that's going to happen. But once again, I mean, Craig Berube can mix and match his lines because he's got really four capable center icemen that Vladdy can play with. So if they're going to try to get Vladdy scoring, they'll keep, I think, mixing and matching until they find the right combination.
Well, looking forward to seeing how it plays out. It's a 2-0 start. Vegas tomorrow night, the home opener on Saturday. I guess, things look like they've gotten off to a fun start. We'll look forward to seeing how it goes. And I guess prepare yourself for that late night tomorrow night, Bernie, with the West Coast game. And then it's back to normal for Saturday and Monday with that back-to-back on the Kings.
Well, the good news to tomorrow night, TNT is doing the game.
So
I'm going to be I'm a spectator like you, Kevin. Yeah. I'll be watching, sitting at home here with my feet up watching the game.
Good. And game's over, and then we can go lights out if we want to, right?
It's exactly it.
Well, enjoy that, Bernie. It's always fun talking to you. We'll see you at Enterprise Center here soon.
Thanks, Kevin. You have a great day.
I'm going to give it a shot. Thank you, Bernie. We appreciate it. Bernie Federko with us here on Sports on the Line. Seriously, I mean this. Like, it's always a good day. It's always a good show when I get to talk hockey with Bernie Federko. It's one of my favorite guys to talk with. And obviously, we got more Blues to talk about throughout the course of the week. They got Vegas tomorrow night for game three of the season, off to a pretty good start so far. And the home opener coming up Saturday night against the LA Kings at Enterprise Center. All right, coming up next, we're going to change gears just a little. Well, it's kind of a big change of gears. We're going to talk college football for a few minutes. Mizzou just got some really, really big recruiting news. They just landed one of the best players in the country, and they didn't have to go very far to do it. I'm going to tell you a bit about the commitment that they just got coming up next here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer
Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back in on KMOX. Obviously, we're busy, man. I joked at the beginning, and I think I've said it a couple times, like, this is a great time of year. There's just so much to get into. Well, in addition to, you know, college football Saturdays and NFL Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, and the baseball playoffs that are going on right now, and the Cardinals manager search, and the Blues season off, the NBA starts tonight. We also have other things. We had a big announcement at SLU today that I'm going to tell you about after the 7 o'clock news, and we'll hear a little bit from Chris May and Travis Ford, but they announced a new athletics facility, a $20 million athletics facility, I'll let them kind of explain in their own words. Tom Ackerman was there, and he had a chance to catch up both with Chris May and Travis Ford, so we'll get a little bit of that after the 7 o'clock news. So that was big news today, and we just got big news within this hour, just what was it, maybe a half an hour ago. Luther Burden made it known that he's going to Mizzou. Huge, huge get for Coach Drink, man. How about that? So this is, depending on which service you like to look at, either the number one or the number two wide receiver in the country now going to Mizzou. And he turned down Georgia and Alabama to go to Mizzou. So, I mean, it really makes it an interesting question. I know he addressed this at the press conference that, you know, one of the reasons he wanted to go to Mizzou, and he said he had made up his mind on this a long time ago, but, you know, it was closer to family, right? His dad would be able to see him play pretty readily without too much difficulty. Obviously, that's a bit more of a challenge if you're going down to Alabama or going down to Georgia. So clearly being close to home mattered to Luther Burden. But still, I mean, this is the kind of recruiting get. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, ooh, national championship's coming or whatever. But this is one of the biggest recruits in modern Mizzou history. I mean, yeah, they got Doriel Green Beckham, and this was a similar setup, right? He was kind of the unanimous number one wide receiver in the country, one of the top handful of players in the entire country, regardless of position. And we know that didn't go as well as you'd hoped. Could have been better. But you also have had other big recruits, right? Like Terry Beckner was a big recruit. Sheldon Richardson was a big recruit. Like, they've had some other big ones, but this is one of them that ranks right up there at the top. And overall, Eli Drinkwitz has a pretty good recruiting class. You know, they've got a little bit of everything, right? You got one of the better quarterbacks in the country coming in. You've got a couple of defensive players right now. Again, I'm going to double check this real quick. I'm not sure if this includes Burton's commitment or not. Nope, it does. It does. So right now, Mizzou currently has the 14th ranked class in 2022, which is a pretty big deal when you look at the fact that they're struggling. You know, like, they're not really, and I know that people can decommit and change and all that stuff, so I know it's not etched in stone, but still really good sign, because one thing that Coach Drinkwitz has working in his favor, I think, is got a great personality. I mean, he have to be able to coach, and I do think he can coach, particularly on the offensive side. You know, we talked to Howard Richards last week about what was going on the defensive side, and he explained some of the problems that they've had. And, you know, we can see on our own that they need to tackle better, as an example. They're not winning at the line of scrimmage, which is how they got beat up on the ground again by Texas A&M this past weekend. They've got a lot of work to do. But keeping in mind that this is only year two and that year one was COVID year, I'm willing to allow this some time, right? I'm not going to pass judgment on a head coach or a program in what is really the first full normal year. And you're in a conference like the SEC, man. I mean, like, you know, you're not going to come in and turn it around in a year, year and a half, 2 years. You got to give Drinkwitz 4 or 5 years. I really believe that. And as a non-fan, right, I mean, this is not a homer take on my part. I'm a Miami Hurricane when it comes to my college football. So this is not about, you know, defending the home team or the alma mater or anything like that. I firmly believe you got to give the guy time, given where you are in the SEC, given what the program was in, what position the program was in when he came in, throw in the big COVID year that screwed up a lot of things, including recruiting. And seeing this recruiting class coming together so well is impressive. I mean, you just got a 5-star wide receiver. Yeah, it's an in-state guy, but what have we said forever about building a program at Mizzou? You're not going to get all of the big 4 and 5 stars in-state, but you got to get some of them. right? And you've got to get the occasional rock star from your home state. And they got, you know, Drew Locke was a guy that was a big-time recruit, highly rated recruit. Not a five-star, but still a highly rated quarterback recruit. Was a big get. And I think, you know, with the quarterback Horn coming in, now having Burden in the fold, it's a great thing. And it does make me wonder, you know, because I mentioned this, Burden chose Mizzou over Alabama and Georgia. And, man, when you think of the players that have come out of those schools, I mean, think of the receivers that have come out of Alabama. I mean, they're all over the NFL. Devontae Smith, of course, last year's rock star. You've got Jalen Waddle. You have Amari Cooper. You got Henry Ruggs. I mean, like, they've been turning out wide receivers like bang, 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 bang every year. And you would think that would be pretty tempting, right? Obviously, Georgia's turned out their share. You know, you would think that would be tempting, but, and I'm sure it was. So I'll be interested to see more what comes of this. But I think the explanation of wanting to be close to family so that dad can see a play is valid. I mean, what we have to remember is that every college recruit, basketball or football, they have their own set of criteria, their own desires, right? For some people, it is, I just want to play on the biggest program and I want the best chance I have to win a championship and I want to go to the NFL. And they all want to go to the NFL. I mean, there's no question about that. But a lot of times, you know, proximity to home matters for whatever reason. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's the opposite. I mean, you know, when I had a bunch of friends, and I'm included in this, but like, yeah, I wanted to get away from home to go to college. And there are, you know, college football players that want to do the same thing, college basketball players that want to do the same thing. So while the criteria for why someone wants to be closer to home can change, I am curious about this from the name, image, and likeness scenario, right? I mean, this guy's one of the biggest recruits in modern history to go to Mizzou. He's going to be the dude from day one. And if you go to Alabama, you're not the dude. You're a dude. You're one of probably a handful of five stars coming in any given year. And as a freshman down there, you're probably not an impact player. And, you know, a lot of these things can lead to now with the name, image, and license, rights that players now have. I mean, the fact that he's from St. Louis, the local kid, you know, this is a big city compared to like Tuscaloosa. It's a big city compared to Athens, Georgia. And, you know, being the hometown kid, you know, like that kind of thing could end up leading to his advantage. You know, you're the top dog. The BMOC, if you will. I mean, that I'm not saying that's why he went there. I don't know. I'm just saying that this is one of the things I wondered about when the name, image, license rights became a thing, when it became okay for college athletes to profit off of the work that they put in, profit off of the name value that they have. I mean, this is an interesting time, and I've wondered, and I don't know, this is not proof, by the way, this is just adding to my wonderment, but I wondered whether or not the name, image, and likeness rights could help some star players choose not to go where all the other five stars are going, could choose not to go to Alabama, where you've probably got 20 upperclassmen that are ahead of you in line for those types of endorsements. And you've got, again, a few other freshmen in your class that are ranked just as highly as you are. Maybe you have more value off the field near a bigger city or near your hometown, for that matter, which happens to be, you know, one of the top 25 cities in terms of population size in the United States, which is a lot bigger than most college towns. And by the way, not only do you have that, I mean, if you're going to say home state, you've actually got two metropolitan areas within, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours of where you are in Columbia. So I don't know that that's a part of it. I'm not suggesting that it is, but this is something that over these next few years I want to pay attention to because I wonder if that's going to start changing some of how the recruiting wars are waged and how players are going to make their decisions. And maybe in a few years we'll start to see whether or not that has an impact. But the truth is, these are the kinds of players you got to get if you're going to compete in the SEC. Because that's what Georgia has, and they're in your division. And that's what Florida has, and they're in your division. And you look at, you know, what you have to do, you know, with teams like Bama and A&M and Auburn and LSU on the other side. I mean, this is a conference you need dudes if you're going to have a chance. Well, Mizzou got a dude today in Luther Burden. So congrats to Eli Drinkwitz there. All right, we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk a little bit about St. Louis University's announcement today. And we're going to talk baseball with Rob Nyer coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. So hang tight, man. We got a lot coming your way here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.